Well, I'd like to read tonight three portions. The first one is found in the book of the Romans and chapter 5. The book of Romans, Romans chapter 5, we'll read at verse 6. Romans 5, and reading at verse 6, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." Verse 8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Now back to the Gospel of John. John's Gospel in chapter 1. The Gospel of John, John's Gospel, and chapter 1, and verse 29. "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And then chapter 3, John's Gospel, chapter 3. And we'll read at verse 14. John's Gospel, chapter 3, and reading at verse 14. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And verse 36 says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Now the Lord will bless his word, I'm sure, in this reading tonight. I'm thinking very simply in these three portions, in this opening part of the meeting for a few moments, just of three words. The first word is a problem. Problem. That's Romans chapter 5. There's a problem that faces man from Romans chapter 5. So a problem. Then in John chapter 1, I want to think of a provision. It's a provision for man. There's a problem that faces man in Romans 5, but there's a provision for man that's seen in John's Gospel and chapter 1. But then when we come to John chapter 3, I'm thinking of a promise to man that's extended to man, that he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. For John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And so there's a promise. The Bible carries with it not only a message for man concerning man's problem, not only is it a message right through the Bible of a provision that God has made to meet man's problem, but there's right through the Bible promises that God gives to every person who comes to the Lord Jesus, who trusts him as their Savior, just like the man in Acts chapter 16, one night who came to know the Lord Jesus in a personal way, the man that the Bible calls the Philippian jailer, and he asked a question one night. He says, "Sirs," he says, "what must I do to be saved?" And perhaps there's one in our gathering here tonight, perhaps a boy, perhaps a girl, or an older person tonight in this meeting, and that would be maybe the language of your heart. "Sir, could you tell us how we could be saved? Could you tell me how I could be saved and know for sure that I'm going to be in heaven when my little journey of life is over?" Well, the word comes ringing back just as the word rang back from the lips of those two men that was in the prison, and they were singing hymns and they were praying, and no doubt for the Philippian jailer, but they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And so not only was there the problem of the man wanting to be saved and needing to be saved, but the provision was presented to him, the Lord Jesus Christ, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the promise was given, thou shalt be saved. And so right through the Bible, we can look right through the Bible in different portions, in different places, and we can find, friend, the message that God has for men and women and boys and girls here in this life. It's a present message. It is a message that the world needs to hear. It's a message, friend, that's a personal message. And so it goes out to every individual. And there's not a select few. And there's just not a few people that this message is for, but it's for the whole world. For God so loved the world. And so it reaches out to the whole wide world. And it encompasses, it takes in every boy and every girl. It takes in young men. It takes in young women. It takes in older people, older men, and older women. It just takes in everybody, includes all, friends, tonight. And God's message of salvation is for the world. But we bring it into our building here tonight because we'd like to make it personal. Because we'd like for you to understand that it's for the person that is sitting on your seat tonight. Not the person sitting beside you. We would like for you tonight to understand why this message is for me. It's not for my boyfriend or girlfriend. It's not for the person behind me or the person in front of me. But it's the person that's sitting on my seat. Why, that's God has a message for me. Well, I think of the problem. In Romans chapter 5, we're presented with man's problem. It's a problem that man has to face. There was one time a young fella, and he was out for a walk on a nice sunny bright day, and he was walking along this road, and he looked out across, and here's a big field, and so he starts out across the field. And he's just looking around and looking at the birds and enjoying the sun and not really paying attention to where he's going. And all of a sudden, as he's walking along, down he goes, down in a great big hole in the ground, and down the boy goes into this hole. It's an old well where a house used to stand. And so he's down this hole, and when he looks up after brushing himself off, and everything seems to be working and nothing broken, and he looks up and he just can see the daylight up through this hole that he, out of the ground to where he is. Well, you know, if I was to ask the boys and girls tonight, what's the first thing do you think that boy did? What's the first thing that you would do? Well, you'd probably answer me, he began to holler for help. And so he began to cry out, help! Help me! That's what you would do too, right? And that's what I would do. And you know, he cried out for help, and he hollered for help to the top of his lungs until finally his throat began to get sore. But you know, there's no houses around, and there's no people around, and so he's crying away. But then after a while, he begins to realize that maybe there's not going to be anybody to help him. So he tries to get out of the hole. And he tries to dig his way up the side of the wall, of course, just to come tumbling back down and bringing the gravel and mud down upon him. You know what the next thing he does? Probably the next thing you and I would do. He begins to cry. Well, he thinks he's not going to get out of this place. He thinks that he's in here for sure, maybe going to die here. Nothing to eat and nothing to drink. And maybe this is where he's going to die, down in the hole in the ground. And so he begins to cry. And then you know what he begins to do next? He begins to pray. Well, I hardly ever thought about praying before. But you know, when we get in a tight spot, whether we're boys or whether we're girls, or whether we're men or whether we're women tonight, when we get in a tight spot generally, then we begin to think about God. Why, God. And God can help me. And then we begin to pray to God. Well, this boy began to pray. He cried and he hollered and he prayed. And still he was in the hole. Well, he didn't know what to do. And the hours went by and he thought, wasn't going to get any help. And so he started to cry out again. Help me! And you know something? There was a man walking down the road. Was out for a walk, and he was walking along the road, and he thought he heard a cry. And he stopped, and he looked all around, and he couldn't see anybody, and didn't know where it was coming from, but he could just hear this faint cry for help. And so he started off across the field to go to where he thought the sound was from. And sure enough, when he went far enough, he looked down, and here's a hole in the ground, and down in that hole in the ground, here's a young man. And when that young fellow saw him up there, he said to him, "Oh, sir," he said, I'm glad to see you. Will you help me get out of this hole?" And the man said to him, he says, "Young fellow," he said, "lad," he said, "what are you doing down there?" "Well," he said, "I was walking along, and I wasn't watching, and I fell in the hole." "Well," he said, that's the stupidest thing that I heard today. Were you walking along and not watching what you was doing and fell down the hole?" He said, "You know what I'm going to do for you?" He said, I'm going to write you out some things on a piece of paper that'll keep you from falling in a hole." Well, so he took out his pen and he began to write on a piece of paper, "Thou shalt look where you're going. Thou shalt watch for holes in the ground." And he started writing out this list of things. Well, do you think that's going to help the boy? Do you think that would get the boy out of the hole? Boy, that only made the boy feel worse. And so he says to the boy, he says, "Here's that paper, and you follow these rules, and you'll never fall in a hole. You'll never fall in the hole again." But the young folks said, "But," he says, "I'm in the hole." He says, "I want help to get out of the hole." He says, "I'm already in here." Well, of course, that makes sense, doesn't it? He needs somebody to get him out of the hole. Well, you know what that tells me? When I read that story, I thought, you know, that's like boys and girls and men and women. That's what the Bible brings before us. You and I are in the hole, friend. We've been going on the journey of life, and we've fallen in the hole. Because of our sin, we have broken the laws of God, and we have fallen in the hole. What do we need tonight? Why, we don't need the rules to keep us out of the hole, because we're already in the hole. Our sins that have separated us from God, friend, have already put us into that place of death and of judgment, and of God's laws that we have broken. So we are in the hole. What we need is to get out of the hole. That boy had a problem. You said, "Boy, what's your problem, boy?" He'd say, "I'm in the hole, and I need help to get out." Do you know what the man did? He went off somewhere, and he got a rope, and he put the rope down in the hole. And of course, do you think the young fellow grabbed that rope? I tell you, he grabbed it with all his might. And of course, the man began to haul, and he hauled that boy up out of the hole. Do you think the boy was glad? I tell you, that boy was as happy as could be. Probably not a happier day in his life. When that day that he got hauled out of that hole, that day when he was rescued from that place where he was going to die, why, he just said to that man, "Oh, sir," he said, "thank you so much." Why, he couldn't repay him. The man had saved him. The man had saved his life. Well, I want to tell you, friend, that's just the gospel summed up in that story. Do you know what the Lord Jesus did? He came from heaven and he went to the cross of Calvary that he might supply the lifeline that takes the person, men and women, boys and girls, out of that place of judgment, out of that hole of death, if you will, out of that place where they're going to die, and there's a lifeline for heaven. Well, the problem of Romans chapter 5 is God has declared every person, every one of us, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin." And you know what the Bible tells us? Every boy and girl and every man and woman from the speaker right to the back of this building tonight, friend, God has declared that we have sinned. We have broken the laws of God. We are in the hole tonight. And we could try to keep the Ten Commandments, or try to live a good life, or try to do the best we can, but friend, we are in the hole. And living that is not going to make the grave. It'll not take us out of the hole. We need something above those commandments. We need somebody or some person that's not in the hole to take us out of the hole. And the Lord Jesus from heaven is that person. And in the gospel, friend, we throw out the lifeline tonight. The lifeline that can save the soul of men and women and boys and girls from the awful place that they're in. Wherefore, as by one man's sin entered into the world, that dreadful thing, friend, that separates a person from God, the dreadful thing that is taking a person to eternity. That's why there's death in our land. That's why boys die and girls die and men die and women die, because of sin. If you could prove to me that you'd never die, you could tell me that you've never sinned, and even one sin. But you know, the very fact that you and I are going to die, every one of us, is a proof that you and I have sinned. We're only fooling ourselves if we think we're good enough to go to heaven. Do you know the Lord Jesus couldn't die because he was sinless? Do you know that he laid down his life voluntarily? That he dismissed his spirit? Do you know why? Because in him there was no sin. There was no sin in the Lord Jesus. He was perfect. He was spotless. He was sinless. But that can't be said of any one of us, friend. No matter how good a life we live, no matter what circumstances we were born in, that's why every individual, boy and girl and man and woman, needs to be saved. That's why I needed to be saved. And that's why you need to be saved tonight. Because of your sin. And so the problem tonight, the problem that shuts the door of heaven against you tonight, the problem why you're not going to heaven tonight, is because of your sin. And so that's a problem. But you know, I think of a provision. You know, as God looked down and he saw man in his sin, and he looked down and he saw that man had sinned against God, and he was separated from God, and his sin was taking him down to hell, and eventually he was going to stand at the great white throne judgment, and then he was going to be cast into the lake of fire, pictured on our chart behind us here. And I tell you, friend, a dreadful day and a dreadful moment when the soul hears those words, "Depart from me." You know, there was a time when we used to, instead of meeting one of the preachers going out the door, used to all say things to us. I don't know if you'd like that or not. But you're going out the door, he'd take you by the hand, and he might ask you if you were saved. Or he might say, you should be thinking about getting saved. Would you like that if we said that to you going out the door? Well, you might not. Well, some of us didn't like it. And so what we would do is go to the other door. We'd go down the basement and go to the back door. And then we wouldn't have to face the preacher. But one night the preacher said, you know, he said, there's some people, and this fellow wasn't a very big man. He was kind of a scrawny fella. But he said, there's some people, he said, in this meeting tonight that are afraid to face the preacher at the door. He said, can you imagine just a mere man like me, said, and they're afraid to face the preacher at the door because of what we might say or ask, and so they go out some other day, some other way. But he says, you know something? There's a day coming when they're going to meet the King of Kings and Lord of Lords at the great white throne judgment. And he said, there'll be no way of escaping. There'll be no back doors to escape out from. There'll be no way to get around the meeting with the God of heaven at the great white throne judgment. They're going to stand before him when the books are open. Well, friend, I want to tell you tonight, the day is coming when you'll stand before him if you're not saved. That's why we urge people to get saved. Well, the provision, the Lord Jesus came from heaven. And he went to the cross of Calvary. John the Baptist pointed out to the world the Savior. And he says, behold, take a look at the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Take a look at the person, God's provision to meet man's need in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there he is, the Savior. You know, if I asked the boys and girls here tonight, if I was asked some of these younger ones tonight, who's the Savior? Could you tell me the name of the Savior? The man who died on the cross. The man who died for the sins of the world. The man who died for your sins that you might be saved. And I dare say everyone here would be able to tell me why it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's what John the Baptist did. He says, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. When I thought about that today, You know, this provision was acceptable to God. God said concerning His Son, the Lord Jesus, well, He says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You know, He was well pleased with the work of the Lord Jesus, with the life that He lived, that the work that He was entering into, with the death that He died on the cross. And we read about that in Romans 5, in that He raised Him from the dead. And the Lord Jesus died at Calvary, but friend, He was raised from the dead the third day, according to the Scriptures. And in the preaching of the Gospel, that's the message of the Gospel. The man that we preach tonight, friend, the man that wants to be your Savior, is the man who died on the cross of Calvary, the man who was buried, and the man who rose again the third day, and He sits tonight at God's right hand with arms extended wide to men and women, boys and girls, and He says, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When He died on the cross, He opened the door of salvation, pictured on our chart, that every person traveling this broad road of life down to death and down to hell can enter through this door, get off of this broad road, and get onto this narrow road, and on the way to heaven. I wonder how many's on the narrow road tonight in our gospel meeting. Do you know that every person on the narrow road has a time when they got on the narrow road? Had a moment in life? There's three questions that we often ask, and we can ask it tonight. If you profess to be going to heaven tonight, friend, if you think you're going to heaven tonight or would say that you're going to heaven tonight, there's three questions you can ask yourself. When was it that I started for heaven? When was it that I began my journey for heaven? When was it that I went through this door? Every person going to heaven has a time when they started for heaven. Could you tell me where you started for heaven? Has a place where they started. And then, of course, a manner in which they started. How they started. Every person going to heaven has a moment when they trusted Christ as their personal Savior. When it dawned on their soul, Jesus died for me. The provision of God for man's problem. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. So it's acceptable by God. And then God's salvation, I thought today, it's affordable by me. Do you know that I can afford God's salvation? I couldn't afford to go to Florida, maybe, or to Hawaii, or some of these places that you kind of dream about to spend a vacation or whatever. But I want to tell you there's something tonight that every person in this gospel meeting can afford. Do you know what it is? God's salvation. Do you know that it's not money that buys it? No matter how much money a person has, friend, they'll never buy salvation. Impossible. There was a man back our way that every year, once a year, used to write it a big fat check. A big fat check has got a lot of zeros on it after the first number. Whatever the first number is, a one or two or five or whatever, and then a lot of zeros, and you would call that a big fat check. Well, he was a wealthy man, and he wrote out this big check once a year. And he gave it to the certain church. Do you think that bought salvation for him? He never went to church, so-called. Never darkened the door. But that did not buy salvation for that man. But I want to tell you that salvation tonight is affordable for every person. From the speaker to the back of this building and up on the balcony tonight. Well, I want to tell you, friend, that salvation is affordable. Do you know how much it costs for God's salvation? The Bible gives us the answer. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And so the Bible tells us it's affordable. Because of the death of the Lord Jesus at Calvary, salvation could be yours tonight for the taking. It's a gift. You know how do you get a gift? We got a nice gift today. Do you know how much it cost us? Didn't cost us a cent. Not one penny. Do you know how we got it? We received it. It was offered to us, and we received it. And it became ours. Do you know what else we did? We said thanks. Thanks for the gift. Thanks for what we've received. and we appreciate this. Do you know something, that God's salvation is offered tonight without money and without price, and it's free. And all you have to do is receive it, friend, and it could be yours tonight. And thank the giver, thank the one who provided it for you at Calvary. It's available to all. And I thought of it, available tonight. Why, that's the message of the gospel. Isn't that the present message of the gospel? Why, friend, that's what thrills the heart of the preacher and those that preach the gospel. Why, it's available, friend, tonight in this gospel meeting. It may not be available tomorrow night. We couldn't preach that tomorrow night. You could be saved tomorrow night. But I'll tell you, we got the Word of God behind us, that it's available tonight, friend, in this gospel meeting. You could have and enjoy God's great salvation provided at Calvary. Take a look at the Lamb of God. God's Lamb. It's a look of faith. It's a load of sin that He went to the cross for. And it's a look of faith that brings me in to the good of that work that He did at Calvary when He cried, "It is finished." The work was completed, done entirely, and it's available tonight. God's salvation is available tonight to whosoever will. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And my verse tonight is, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. We trust, friend, as this meeting continues, that you might receive the greatest gift that you could ever get, the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.